New heading, a principle center. By centering our lives on correct principles, universal, timeless, and self-evident, we create a solid foundation for development of the four life support factors. Our security comes from knowing that, unlike other centers based on people or things which are subject to frequent and immediate change, correct principles do not change. We can depend on them. Principles don't react to anything. They don't get mad or treat us differently. They won't divorce us or run away with our best friends. They are not out to get us. They can't pave our way with shortcuts and quick fixes. They don't depend on the behavior of others, the environment, or the current fad for their validity. Principles don't die. They aren't here one day and gone the next. They can't be destroyed by fire, earthquake, or theft. Principles are deep, fundamental truths, classic truths, generic common denominators. They are tightly interwoven threads running with exactness, consistency, beauty, and strength through the fabric of life. Even in the midst of people or circumstances that seem to ignore the principles, we can be secure in the knowledge that principles are bigger than people or circumstances, and that thousands of years of history have seen them triumph time and time again. Even more important, we can be secure in the knowledge that we can validate them in our own lives by our own experience. Admittedly, we're not omniscient. Our knowledge and understanding of correct principles is limited by our own lack of awareness of our own true nature and the world around us, and by the flood of trendy philosophies and theories that are not in harmony with correct principles. These ideas will have their season of acceptance, but like many before them, they won't endure because they're built on false foundations. We are limited, but we can push back the borders of our limitations. An understanding of the principles of our own growth enables us to search out correct principles with the confidence that the more we learn, the more clearly we can focus the lens through which we see the world. The principles don't change. Our understanding of them does. The wisdom and guidance that accompany principle-centered living come from correct maps, from the way things really are, have been, and will be. Correct maps enable us to see clearly where we want to go and how to get there. We can make our decisions using the correct data that will make their implementation possible and meaningful. The personal power that comes from principle-centered living is the power of a self-aware, knowledgeable, proactive individual, unrestricted by the attitudes, behaviors, and actions of others, or by many of the circumstances and environmental influences that limit other people. The only real limitation of power is the natural consequence of the principles themselves. We are free to choose our actions based on our knowledge of correct principles, but we are not free to choose the consequences of those actions. Remember, if you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. Principles always have natural consequences attached to them. There are positive consequences when we live in harmony with the principles. There are negative consequences when we ignore them. But because these principles apply to everyone, whether or not they are aware, this limitation is universal. And the more we know of correct principles, the greater is our personal freedom to act wisely. By centering our lives on timeless and changing principles, we create a fundamental paradigm of effective living. It is the center that puts all other centers in perspective. Remember that your paradigm is the source from which your attitudes and behaviors flow. A paradigm is like a pair of glasses. It affects the way you see everything in your life. If you look at things through the paradigm of correct principles, what you see in life is dramatically different than what you see through any other centered paradigm. But for a quick understanding of the difference your center makes, let's look at just one example of a specific problem as seen through the different paradigms. As you listen, try to put on each pair of glasses. Try to feel the response that flows from the different centers. Suppose tonight you have invited your wife to go to a concert. You have the tickets. She's excited about going. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, your boss calls you into his office and says he needs your help through the evening to get ready for an important meeting at 9 a.m. tomorrow. If you're looking through spouse-centered or family-centered glasses, your main concern will be your wife. You may tell the boss you can't stay, and you take her to the concert in an effort to please her. You may feel you have to stay to protect your job, but you'll do so grudgingly, anxious about her response, trying to justify your decision and protect yourself from her disappointment or anger. If you're looking through a money-centered lens, your main thought will be of the overtime you'll get or the influence working late may have on a potential raise. You may call your wife and simply tell her you have to stay, assuming she'll understand that economic demands come first. If you're work-centered, you may be thinking of the opportunity. You can learn more about the job. You can make some points with the boss and further your career. You may give yourself a pat on the back for putting in hours well beyond what is required. Evidence of what a hard worker you are. Your wife should be proud of you. If you're possession-centered, you might be thinking of the things the overtime income could buy. Or you might consider what an asset to your reputation at the office it would be if you stayed. Everyone would hear tomorrow how noble, how sacrificing, how dedicated you are. If you're pleasure-centered, you'll probably can the work and go to the concert, even if your wife would be happy for you to work late. You deserve a night out. If you're friend-centered, your decision would be influenced by whether or not you had invited friends to attend the concert with you, or whether your friends at work were going to stay late too. If you're enemy-centered, you may stay late because you know it will give you a big edge over that person in the office who thinks he's the company's greatest asset. While he's off having fun, you'll be working and slaving, doing his work and yours, sacrificing your personal pleasure for the good of the company he can so blithely ignore. If you're church-centered, you might be influenced by plans other church members have to attend the concert, by whether or not any church members work at your office, or by the nature of the concert. Handel's Messiah might rate higher priority than a rock concert. Your decision may also be affected by what you think a good church member would do, and by whether you view the extra work as service or seeking after material wealth. If you're self-centered, you'd be focused on what will do you the most good. Would it be better for you to go out for the evening, or would it be better for you to make a few points with the boss? How the different options affect you will be your main concern. As we consider various ways of looking at a single event, is it any wonder that we have young lady, old lady perception problems in our interactions with each other? Can you see how fundamentally our centers affect us? Right down to our motivations, our daily decisions, our actions, or in too many cases, our reactions, and all of our interpretations of events? That's why understanding your own center is so important. And if that center does not empower you as a proactive person, it becomes fundamental to your effectiveness to make the necessary paradigm shifts to create a center that will. Now, as a principle-centered person, you try to stand apart from the emotion of the situation and from other factors that would act on you and evaluate the options. Looking at the balanced whole, the work needs, the family needs, other needs that may be involved, and the possible implications of the various alternative decisions, you'll try to come up with the best solution, taking all factors into consideration. Whether you go to the concert or stay and work is really a small part of an effective decision. You might make the same choice with a number of other centers, but there are several important differences when you are coming from a principle-centered paradigm. First, you are not being acted upon by other people or circumstances. You are proactively choosing what you determine to be the best alternative. You make your decision consciously and knowledgeably. Second, you know your decision is most effective because it is based on principles with predictable long-term results. Third, what you choose to do contributes to your ultimate values in life. Staying at work to get the edge on someone at the office is an entirely different evening in your life from staying because you value your boss's effectiveness and you genuinely want to contribute to the company's welfare. The experiences you have as you carry out your decision takes on quality and meaning in the context of your life as a whole. Fourth, you can communicate to your wife and your boss within the strong networks you've created in your interdependent relationships. Because you are independent, you can be effectively interdependent. You might decide to delegate what is delegatable and come in early the next morning to do the rest. And finally, you'll feel comfortable about your decision. Whatever you choose to do, you can focus on it and enjoy it. As a principle-centered person, you see things differently. And because you see things differently, you think differently, you act differently. Because you have a high degree of security, guidance, wisdom, and power that flows from a solid, unchanging core, you have the foundation of a highly proactive and highly effective life.